Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Myles Garrett stays in Cleveland. Bengals sign their studs. And LeBron and Stephen A. get a little bit testy. But we begin today's show. Shocker! We begin today's show with the NCAA tournament, which technically kicked off last night. There's a couple of more playing games today, but the real tournament really starting tomorrow. The SEC has an astounding 14 teams in the tournament, giving their conference the best chance of reaching the Final Four. Despite the number of teams the SEC has, teams like St. John's, Duke, Michigan State, and Houston will be trying to thwart their chances. So, Z, how many SEC teams do you have in your Final Four?
Well, now that you really think about it, right? I'm feeling the second seeds more than I am the number one seeds in a lot of these brackets. Your Johnnies.
You mean you're feeling the two seeds?
I'm feeling the two seeds. I am feeling the two seeds, not the ones. Like, call me what it will. I'm feeling the Johnnies this year coming out of the West. Like, you said they'd be a two. I said they come out of the West. So we're each right. So that's nice. So that's good. I'm digging Michigan State. I like that. You know, Auburn is the overall number one, but were they even the number one team when Houston was the number one team in the nation in the poll? Correct? Crazy.
So I think Houston is the overall number one. I don't know, because Auburn, if you remember, they came in on a skid. I think they lost three of their last four games.
Yeah,
they weren't playing so well.
Yeah, so I'm feeling Houston. I like Houston, and this may sound controversial. I got Bama. I like Bama more than some of the other seeds. So to answer the immediate question, I got one.
Okay.
I got one. But, I mean, you got to say the brackets look good, man. The brackets look like the committee did a good job. Controversy aside with North Carolina, we'll get to the controversy with North Carolina. But it looks, it looks like there's a fair amount of competitive balance. It looks like your fair shot of upsets. The 8-9s look really good. I mean, you have UConn, Oklahoma. You got Creighton. Creighton can actually make a bit of a run here. But, you know, we know what Creighton is coming out of the Big East. I think they can make a good run. You know, Mississippi State and Baylor is going to be a good one. And then you have Gonzaga. Like, there is a possibility. Now, I know I said that I got Houston in the Final Four, but Gonzaga could put a scare into Houston. Like, we've seen that
Gonzaga
before.
Gonzaga is trash this year. I didn't really buy into them at all. I think they're what? They're an 8 seed?
They're an 8. Yeah, they're going up against Georgia. They could get picked off in the first round. 8-9 is 8-9 and 5-12 are notoriously the pick'em games.
Notorious.
But, I mean, would it surprise me if Gonzaga made a little bit of a run? And by the run, I mean Sweet 16. Like, it's possible, but it's unlikely. And Houston is a good team. You know, they're a very, very good team. And, you know, overall, are we looking forward to, you know, you're Mr. St. John's. Are you looking forward to the potential Calipari-Patino matchup in the second round?
Yeah, I'm trying to go to that game, actually. It's in Providence. It's only like a four-hour drive from here. I just need the ticket prices to come down. I'm not paying $250 to go to a fucking basketball game.
That freaking chance, man. It's Calipari and it's Patino.
Well, yeah, so that, and the game's at noon, which is great because you can pretty much go to the game, watch it, and then come home afterwards.
Yeah.
If you wanted to. I mean, I think with the ticket, you get two games. Who is going to be in the second game? That's nice. Okay, so, it could be Drake.
Drake
in Texas Tech, it could be. That could be fun.
That sounds about right. I mean, of the I mean, there's going to be a fair amount of drama. There's going to be a good amount of solid games. And, I mean, overall, say what you will, three twos and a one. I mean, it's not exact. It's chalkish. It's chalk. Oh, it's chalk adjacent.
You got three twos and a one.
I got three twos and a one coming out of this. Now, if you're asking me to pick a team, I don't know why. For some reason, this team is sticking out. Like, what lower seed can make a little bit of a run? I don't know why, but Grand Canyon. For some reason, Grand Canyon is sticking out to me. You know, maybe it's because of, you know, Bryce Drew or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, I think there's a chance that they can knock off the Terps. And I think that, you know, they're very even. It's very even. They actually out-rebound the Terps. So it's a possibility. Now, you're looking at, you know, what does that really mean? Can they survive most likely Memphis in the second round? Maybe not. But as far as, like, the lowest seed advancing, I for some reason, Grand Canyon sticking out to me. But who are your final four, and you got any upsets coming in?
So I have two SEC teams. So I have Auburn and Alabama. But I have Auburn going against St. John's, and then I have Alabama playing Houston.
Okay.
That's what I have. Do I have any upsets? Not really. I mean, I got Georgia over Gonzaga. I got Oklahoma over Connecticut. I don't really have.
Is 8-9 really an upset in your view?
Yeah, can be. I mean, I think one of the upsets that I have is I have Maryland over Florida in my bracket. I think if Xavier wins today and they play Illinois, I might change over to Xavier and have them win two games. I could see that happening. But, like, even, I mean, Arkansas could totally beat Kansas. Kansas is booty this year.
Oh, no, that showdown is happening. Arkansas-St. John's is happening.
Oh, I got Drake. I got Drake winning two games. I believe in Drake. Their coach is really good. They won a lot of games this year. They're a good team.
No, it's God's plan. If that's the case,
I could see Creighton beating Auburn. I don't have that, but I could see that happen. Creighton's a good team. You know, I got to see a lot of them this year in the Big East.
Big East is going to make a run. You know, we talk about the SEC, but I really think the Big East is going to make a run this year.
You know what? They're tall. They got players. I mean, they crushed UConn in the Big East tournament. They played St. John's tough for a half. You know, you can't really sleep on them. But, yeah, no, I could see Duke losing if this kid Clegg is hurt. I mean, I've never really sprained my ankle as bad as he has, but I got to assume that that's going to be very sensitive. They might even they probably should consider not playing him in the first game and rolling their dice with the second game. What do you think? Would you play him?
Well, who am I drawing in that first round? Am I going to get...
Looks like you're getting Mount St. Mary's. Mount St. Mary, yeah, you get Mount St. Mary.
I probably don't need Cooper Flagg to beat Mount St. Mary's.
They got 81 right now on American.
American.
Yeah, I don't think they need him, but I wouldn't play him.
No, I don't think so. I would err on the side of caution as well, because next round you probably are going to get Baylor. So, or, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Miss State won. But I'm feeling Baylor over Mississippi State, and that's going to be a tough matchup. And, you know, Cooper Flagg is going to need to, you know, he's going to need all the help he can get in that regard. But, you know, we mentioned it before. North Carolina's in. Not only is North Carolina in, but they won their play-in game. And there's a lot of controversy there. You had the AD of North Carolina also on the selection committee. Now, he says he left the room, and then when he came back, North Carolina was, you know, chosen. Now, you know as well as I that these backroom deals are done, right? You know, one hand washes the other. You're buttery. You're working you're working the committee the entire time. So, is North Carolina deserving? Yes, they won, but are they still a deserving team? And, like, does West Virginia, who has the biggest gripe, they're fucking suing, or they were planning on suing.
Yeah, I don't know if, I mean, I think it's silly.
Yeah.
I think it's silly because, I mean, North Carolina definitely really showed they deserve to be in the play-in, I think. I know a lot of people are saying no, but, I mean, you put up as many points as they did, and you take care of business the way they did, it's hard to say they don't... I get that they don't belong in the tournament, but they won that game. I'm not sure if I would take, you know, North Carolina over West Virginia, but I mean, this is what it is. I mean, this is, but I hope they don't expand it. Just leave it alone, man. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need any more. Like, it's a stretch at 68. It's definitely a stretch at 68 now. Like, you have issues with the NIT, you know, the NIT, and you have the CBI, and, you know, dude, just, like, send some people home.
Yeah. Nah, just, you know, you want competitive basketball, but you don't want these fluky things either. Just, you know, the more that you water it down, I think the more inevitable it will be that you do get the ones, the twos, the threes, and the fours at the end, right? Because they're going to be playing trash instead of playing a really competitive team. But, you know, we bury the lead here. The Red Storm won their first Big East title in 25 years when they beat Creighton on Saturday. Man, that was awesome. The win helped them get a number two seed in the tournament, which might earn them a second-round matchup against Arkansas or Kansas. You're tipping your hand saying it's going to be Arkansas, which I hope it is, and I hope I get to go. They got to lower the ticket prices, though. On Monday, Rick Pitino teased the idea of the Big East merging with the ACC. Does this move make sense to you?
Oh, God. So, let's...
I get why he's saying it. I get why. However...
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan of it, but I understand why he's saying it for money, right?
Of course.
It's money. Because I think Rick understands the transfer portal now a lot more than he did maybe last year. Where, okay, he's losing three key guys this season, right? He's going to be losing Devin Smith. He's going to be losing Kadari. And then he's going to be losing Aaron, okay? Now, Rick cannot get a high school player to replace any one of those guys.
No.
There's no high school player on the planet that can come in and be what those guys were, right? But in the transfer portal, he can. So if he's in the same conference as a Duke, a North Carolina, a Pittsburgh, a Notre Dame, a North Carolina State, what happens? Oh, you get to scout these guys at least twice a year. You're going to know the inside of what Louisville's offering. You're going to know what Clemson's offering. You're going to know what Duke's offering. And, you know, the number one guy, the number two guy, yeah, they're going to go to Duke. They're going to go to North Carolina. But what about that third guy? What about that fourth guy? What about that second point guard? What about that third point guard? That's what his mind is thinking, I believe, in this whole situation. But my only objection to this would be, and it would never happen, but instead of the Big East merging with the Atlantic Coast Conference, how about it becomes like, I want to say it's like a Big East East or a Big East West, or like, you know, you change the name of it so there's two divisions in it. Maybe there's a North and a South division or something like that. Because I think, see, the problem is you got so many teams. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
How are you going to divide
this? There are so many teams. I think, I'll tell you right now. So let's see. There's 18 teams in Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yes.
Okay? And then you have, in the Big East, We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 11. I think there should be like a 4-team swing or a 5-team swing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I want, what I want is give back Syracuse, give us Miami, give us Pittsburgh, and give us Notre Dame. Give us those four teams. Give us those four teams. And you can keep the Florida States. You can keep the Stanfords. You can keep the Cal. I don't know why Cal is in the Atlantic Coast Conference. That should make no sense.
RIP to the Pac-10. That's why.
But that would make... I think that would just make it more competitive. Now, they would never do it.
No.
But that would make the Big East better. I think that would make the Atlantic Coast Conference more competitive, because right now there's just too many teams in their conference. There's just too many teams. You need to let go of some teams. And the Big East, they have a decent amount of teams, but really two more teams would make it worthwhile. But if we give us four teams, I mean, because that's why Syracuse went, Z.
Yeah.
That's why Syracuse went. Syracuse went because of money. It's money. It's all about money. But now Rick realizes transfer portal is king.
Well, it's also competition, because what's happening, right? The Big Ten has gotten all these schools, right? They're trying to build this super conference. The SEC is trying to build up their wares, right? They're trying to build up their names. It's an arms race. It's an absolute arms race right now in sports, because that's where the revenue is. So I understand, kudos to Coach for trying to get his piece of the pie. And, you know, I would respect that if you're joining up, right? Because you got, you know, like you mentioned already, Duke, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, like, right? Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, Syracuse. Even though, like, from Virginia to Miami, like, not that great, you know, kind of middling. Georgia Tech was 17-17 this year. You do have some powerhouses. You have some perennial names there. So it would only add cachet to your program if you're going to be going up against them on a regular. Because say what you will, you know, DePaul does nothing for you. Providence does nothing for you. It used to, not anymore. Right? Villanova, not since Coach Wright left. They fired Kyle Neptune. So they've lost their luster. Seton Hall was a darling. And in conferences here, they were 2-18. That's straight up dog shit. So, from a competitive standpoint, it does juice the thing a little bit. They would definitely need to figure out how to gerrymander this, because you're all over the place here, right? You're in Indiana, you're in New York, you're in Philly, you're in DC, you're in Rhode Island. And then you add in Virginia, Florida, California, North Carolina, South Carolina. It's Georgia. SMU is in Texas. That's some crazy shit right there. Like, you know, logistically, that's a nightmare. And Massachusetts. I forgot Boston College. So it's logistically a nightmare. Competitive-wise, cachet-wise, name-wise, it's great. It's got to be, if you're going to do it, it's got to be super well thought out. And then, you know, I understand that Cal needed a home and Stanford needed, via con Dios, go someplace else. I'm sorry. You're
Big 12. Go to the Big 12.
Yeah.
Go west.
Go to the Mountain West. Go do something else.
Yeah, go west. I don't know if they can even do that at this point, though.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what kind of contract they signed up for, but...
Oh, I think they tried to break it, and they were like, no, you owe us a shit ton of money. It's like, fuck that.
Yeah, just... it's just not, it's not good for your players. It's just not good for your school. It just doesn't, like, imagine like a Cal team going to Syracuse. Like, that just is silly, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But then again, lots of this stuff doesn't make any sense. Rutgers is in the Big Ten. Why the frig is Rutgers in the Big Ten? They're from Money. They're in Jersey.
But like, they were horrible.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they got 2 lottery picks. Believe that shit.
Well, that goes to show you, you know, talent is only so much, you know, you can only have so many talented players. You need to have a talented team. 2 players doesn't make a team. Like, yeah. Shaq and Kobe, yeah, they were great players, but then they also had Rick Fox around them, and they had, you know, and then eventually, you know, once Shaq left, they had Pau Gasol, Kobe had Pau Gasol, they had Lamar. You know, you have other guys around you. It can't just be 2 dudes. If it's just 2 dudes, you're in for a friggin' world of hurt.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan Brake Pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
But speaking of 2 dudes, we kind of glossed over this. There's a little bit of a drama. Oh, some headlines made by one LeBron and Stephen A. Smith. During a timeout at a Laker game, LeBron confronted Stephen A., who was sitting courtside, and LeBron told Stephen A. he did not like Stephen A. criticizing his son, Bronny. Stephen A. did not argue with LeBron on the court, but he did defend himself on ESPN the next day, saying he was not criticizing Bronny, but rather he was criticizing how LeBron has been handling Bronny. Does Stephen A. have the right to criticize LeBron James when it comes to Bronny?
You know, in the moment when I saw it, I was surprised, right? Because LeBron could have easily called Stephen A. He could have met with Stephen A. after the game, but to confront him on the court during a timeout, not even the post game, the pregame, was like, what are you doing? Like, this is so below what you've been like all your career. You've never been this guy, right? But the question becomes, like, you know, like Stephen A. was saying, this was a father getting upset with someone who was talking about his son. And the whole problem with this, Z, is that LeBron put himself in this position, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you put yourself in this situation. You didn't let the kid play 4 years of college, which would have probably helped him. You were being, I don't know, I just think you wanted to play with your son, which is cool. You're allowed to want to do that. So this is, you know, this is what you did. You had the Lakers draft him. You used your power and influence to get the Lakers to draft him so that you guys could play together. And unfortunately, with doing something like that, there's repercussions, right? And I just, listen, I get it. I don't think it's right for Stephen A. to be questioning LeBron as a father and what he's doing to his son. It's almost like, you know, parents in Little League, right? Uh-huh. You know, it's like, yo, your son can't pitch. Can we get your son off the mound? Can we get someone in here who could actually pitch? I mean, you've been a part of those games, you know? So it's tough, but you put yourself in this position. And you can't expect nothing to come from it. You can't expect everybody to just gloss over the fact you used your power and influence to put this kid on this team. And this all came about because Stephen A., you know, kind of came at LeBron after Tyrese Maxey had his way with Bronny against the 76ers, embarrassing him. And it's just like, it's not fair to him. It's not fair to the, you know, the league. Not fair, you know, it's tough. It's tough. I don't know. I don't think Stephen A. has the right to talk about how LeBron James raises his son. No, I don't. But in regards to his career, right, you know, these things are coming from LeBron. Like, this whole, well, he's going to play in the G League, and then when there are home games, he's going to come and sit on the Laker bench. And he's actually played some decent G League games, which makes you really believe that if he stayed in school, he might have had a chance, you know, to be a player, right? Mm-hmm. And now, I don't know. Like, you're trying to tell me that after LeBron James retires, this kid's going to be in the league? I find that very hard to believe. And I just hope that this was some kind of agreement that LeBron came up with his son, or, you know, because, I mean, if his son really cared about developing and playing professional basketball, I like to think that finishing a college career would have been more helpful than what he's doing right now. So in the big buildup is I don't think Stephen A had the right to, I don't think LeBron should have approached Stephen A during a timeout. If he wanted to approach him, he should have called him. They should have had a man-to-man conversation in private, not in public. That's number one. And number two, I think Stephen A can talk about it from a basketball standpoint, X's and O's standpoint, but not question LeBron James as a father. That, I think, is a little out of bounds.
It's, you know, it's one thing if Bronny was still a kid, if Bronny was still a young child, and, you know, Stephen A was going after him in that regard. That is definitely stepping over the line. Bronny has become a public figure. His game is fair game. His inability to, you know, stick on the big league level is fair game. All of that is fair game. It is, absolutely. You know, you're a public figure. It comes with that. Not the parental stuff. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You're absolutely right. You can't criticize LeBron as a parent, because what parent wouldn't want to take care of their children?
Or, and it happens all the time in sports, right? There's nepotism all over the place.
Nepotism is all around us, whether it's a Fortune 500 company or somebody taking over the family business. It's nepotism. It is absolutely nepotism. But it, you know what? There's nothing wrong with it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Where you lose me is having him drafted.
Yeah.
He could have signed as an undrafted free agent and not had that guaranteed money and not make more than God knows how many other dudes for being a triple single, for averaging a triple single and in being in Santa Cruz most of the time.
So that's
where you lose me. Now, you don't need to have this public spat. You don't have to, but, you know, if LeBron is going to do that, then LeBron is going to do that. It's like very much like the Chris Rock, Will Smith thing. It's very much a public spectacle for the sake of doing that.
I mean, listen, I haven't gotten to the point where, I mean, my kids play sports, but they're little. They're young.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a situation where I would want my son to pitch if he really wasn't a good pitcher. I can't imagine a situation where, you know, I'd want him to play on a team where he'd be the worst player on that team. Like, I can't imagine wanting that for him, because I know with that would bring doubt, would maybe really hurt him, you know, mentally, you know? And I don't, like I said, I just got into this with sports with my kids, so I don't really know. I don't know. Maybe my mindset will change when I get older, but I can't imagine myself, you know, pushing that agenda if he didn't belong.
Your boys are also young enough that they would never play on the same team as you, in the same league as you. I think some of that is also the issue too. LeBron casts a big shadow. He's got big shoes. And Bronny ain't filling him, right? As of right now, he's not filling him. Now, is that a fair conversation to have on a hot take show like Get Up? Yes, absolutely it is. Because it's a fact. We see it in front of our eyes. But because of that big shadow, because of those big shoes, that, you know, LeBron is emboldened to go after Stephen A. in that regard. Even if it's true. Even if it's true. You know, you're...
I feel like I'd be more comfortable with it, like, if he was a top... If he was a top five or top 10 pick, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I'd feel more comfortable with it then. It's like, all right, you know, his son can play, and he wants to force him to get on his team so he can play with him. I think I could get on board with that. Like, kind of like what Deion's doing with his son. Like, he's pretty much deciding where Shador's going to play by saying he's not playing in certain places because I don't want him to play for a shit franchise, or I don't want to put him in a bad situation. And I almost feel like because of Shador, and Shador's not great, but Shador could play quarterback in the NFL. I believe he can. He can. He's competent enough where he might not be a starter, but he could be a backup. But I do feel like Deion's in a better situation than LeBron is. Like, I just feel like it just comes down to talent. I think we all are having these conversations because I think everybody doesn't think he should be there, right? We're all there. I don't know anybody who's looked at tape or looked at this and said, no, he's going to come along. He's going to get it. It's like, you really, you know, for a guy who's done everything right, he really has. You can't say a bad thing about LeBron James on the court and off the court. I don't know if this was selfish by him or what, but again, I don't. I'm talking about it from a professional basketball standpoint, not from. Listen, he's a father, and of course he's going to advocate for his son. Of course he's going to want the best for his son, and he should want to play with his son. But from a professional basketball perspective, I think the conversation should have happened behind closed doors. Yeah. Not on the court. And I think because of the situation, Stephen A. has the right to question it from a basketball sense, because these are basketball moves. He's making a basketball salary. You know, I'm sure he doesn't call him dad in the locker room. I'm sure he doesn't call him dad on the court, right? I would think he doesn't.
You hope not.
Hope not. So, right, so that's how we should look at it, right? You're his teammate. You're, in this sense, right now, you're acting like the teammate, the general manager. You're everything, you know? So, yeah.
And that's part of the issue, you know, because there's so much there. Like, who's telling him no? Nobody's telling him no. Clearly, nobody's telling him no. Because Bronny's there. He's there. Right? He was drafted. He has that contract. Like, nobody's telling LeBron no.
Yeah.
And in this case, maybe they should have told him no.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
And moving over to football, the Bengals managed to sign Ja'Marr Chase to an extension, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. And they also re-signed T. Higgins, making him the highest paid wide receiver two in the league. So it looks like the Bengals offense is set for the next few years, but what about the defense? And last I checked, they told their best defensive player to seek out a trade. So do you support the Bengals' decisions?
What about their defense? It doesn't sound like they have one.
I don't know what...
Obviously, who, Taylor's thinking...
They pretty much have to, like, nail the draft. They have to nail the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They have to nail every single pick in this draft because they were averaging over 30 points a game.
They're still losing.
They're losing the teams because they can't stop anybody. And I believe their defensive end led the league in sacks. He was like one of the best defensive ends in the league, but that wasn't good enough. So unless they're gonna change the flow of their offense, they're gonna have to figure out how they're gonna stop people.
They're a mess.
Because in all honesty, right? The money that you're giving to T. Higgins, you could have probably bought four defensive players. Defense doesn't require as much money as offensive players does. You could have got another defensive end. You could have got a corner and probably two linebackers. And you gave it all to the second string wide receiver.
Who has an injury history. Clearly, they're banking on outscoring people. Like that is what they're going to try and do. They're going to try and run them up. The problem is that this ain't the greatest show on turf. It's not. Who's going to be your running back? Chase Brown?
That's another valid point.
Like, who's it going to be? Because eventually. You know, Joe B is due for his injury. T. Higgins is due for his injury. And Jamar Chase is like, what the fuck do you want from me? So, all you're doing is placating Joe Burrow. Let's be real here. Like, he got his guys paid. This is very similar to Aaron Rodgers getting his boys' deals. Right? The only difference is that it was a free agent deal and they went elsewhere. Here, they sign their extensions, they're staying. But your cap is tied up in three guys. Three. You got to figure this out. Because, you're not that far removed from a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This team was in the Super Bowl, 4 years ago? Something like that? 3 years ago? How far have you guys fallen? The only team you can't fall below is the Cleveland Browns. They got their own fucking problem. But you're still in the division with the Steelers. You're still in the division with the Ravens. You're at best the third best team. And you did not get better by making these moves. Now, maybe there will be some low-level free agency. Maybe you'll get some low-level guys. Some veterans will take the minimum, like Raheem Mostert. When I mentioned Raheem Mostert for the Chiefs, he went to the Raiders for $2 million, a year for $2 million. You can probably find guys like that. Guys willing to work cheap. And the Browns should be, the Brown family should be. Used to that. They like that stuff. So, yeah. It's just way too much concentrated in these three guys. And it doesn't guarantee you anything, man. Like, Chase is good. Burrow's good.
What happens if Burrow... Like you said, what happens if Burrow goes down?
You're screwed.
Well, now we don't have anybody to throw the ball to the two guys that were two of the highest paid players in the team.
Yeah.
I just don't know what they were thinking. Like, and we're in a day and age, honestly, Z, where if you think about it, players don't really want to go anywhere. Like, players don't want to test free agency. Players want to stay home. Players want to stay where they're comfortable, stay where they've been playing. And that's what it came down to T. Higgins. He was like, T. Higgins legit could have gone to a team and became the number one receiver, right? You would agree with that?
Agree, yeah.
There's probably 10 or 12 teams that he could have just straight up went there and been their number one guy, took a shit ton of money. He's better than George Pickens, in my opinion. And no, he didn't. He said he wanted to stay home, and I kind of get it, right? I want to stay here. I want to play with Joe Burrow. I don't know what else is out. I don't want to be the guy.
Right.
I don't want to be the guy. Like, what do I want to be the guy for? I don't have to be the guy, So I kind of get where he's coming from. You franchised him. He could have played under the franchise tag. The only other thing I could think of, right, is it possible that, you know, you're going to say, okay, we're giving you guys what you want, but we got to win a Super Bowl this year. If we don't win the Super Bowl, one of you motherfuckers is getting traded. Maybe that's what they did. I don't know if Higgins has a no trade clause.
Right.
Because that's, don't know the details that's the, of that. That's the out, right? The out is, guys, we need you 1 year. Conference, championship, or Super Bowl, or you're gone. Yeah, I'll give you your money today because he gets the guaranteed money, but the contracts could be, you know, anything could happen there. We saw what happened with Rodgers. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of.
One guy who should be on the hot seat that we're not really talking about is Zach Taylor. Like, it's a middling franchise. It's an absolute.
But his whole game plan. He's an offensive guy, and his team scores points, especially this past season. Joe Burrow was the MVP. I mean, I know he didn't get the MVP, but Joe Burrow was the MVP. I mean, he had an unbelievable season as a quarterback. So he's doing, Zach Taylor is essentially doing what an offensive-minded guy does, like an Andy Reid or a John Gruden or, you know, a Mike Martz. We're scoring points. I score points.
What are those three guys having fire? Well, what do they have in common? They all eventually got fired.
Well, everybody gets fired in the NFL. No,
eventually, the owner has to get fed up with this stuff, right? Eventually, they get sick of this shit. And
I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Because they have Joe Burrow. They haven't had by the way, hometown Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's from Ohio. Okay? He's probably either the best quarterback or the second best quarterback in the NFL. All right? You want Joe Burrow to be happy. And their whole, what I'm assuming is their thing is, hey, listen, I'm going to give him two weapons. I paid him the most money I can pay him. And they don't pay people. They paid him. They paid Jamar. They paid T. Guys, shut the fuck up. Now go win. You know?
We can't afford to pay 50 other guys.
Just think about like the Cleveland Browns. Same boat, right? We'll pay whatever we got to pay to get Deshaun Watson. I'll give you whatever picks you want. Just get him here. This motherfucker ain't going to play for like two more years.
Oops.
But in their eyes, we got the quarterback, we got the player, we got somebody who wants to be here, wants to play here, wants to win here. Clearly, that's not going to happen. They didn't plan that out properly. But that's the only thing I could think of. That's because there's nobody. It's almost like Billy Bean says. There's no one to stop the ball from going past first base at this point. There's nobody to stop a team from putting 40 on you guys every week right now.
Not because, a person.
Because your defense was dog shit last year, and you didn't get anybody. You did zip in free agency in regards to defense, and that's where you really needed the work.
You had a shit defense with the defensive player of the year on it. I just want let's be clear about that. Trey Hendrickson was one of the best defensive players in the league last year, and this defense was absolute crap. So you're not fortifying it with anything. You can argue the Ravens are getting better. You can argue that the Steelers are getting better. Even to some degree, you can argue the Browns are getting better. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing on that side of the ball? How are you stopping those guys? You're in the same conference as Mahomes, right? Burrow head my ass, that guy. Like, how are you going to stop Patrick Mahomes with this team?
Yeah, that's actually
collection.
Well, that's a valid point, right? The old motto, I don't know if it changed, but the old motto was you kind of build a team to win the division, right? It's like, you know, we build a team to compete with the other teams in our conference.
Yeah.
And we've got to come out stronger. So if a team has a good quarterback, we're going to have a good defense. If a team has a good defense, we're going to have good linemen and we're going to have good backs and receivers. Like, you try to build your team to be better than the other teams. And right now you're not. You're just not. You're not. You didn't make the playoffs last year. I don't know what makes you think bringing these two guys back is going to make you better. Like I said, maybe it's something I don't know, but we'll find out. But one thing that was really interesting that happened last week was Myles Garrett requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns because he said he wanted to play football for a contender and he wanted to play in a Super Bowl. The Browns had a meeting with Garrett and then he signed a new contract, paying him $40 million per year, which at the point was making him the highest paid non-quarterback in the National Football League. When a reporter questioned him on why he signed a new contract with the Browns, he said that the Browns revealed their plans to stay competitive, and he was on board. Z, if you were Myles Garrett, what would the Browns need to say to you to compel you to stay outside of signing that $40 million per year contract? What could they have possibly told him to make him like, all right, I see what's going on here. All right, I'm in. I'm back in.
There's nothing. There's nothing, absolutely fucking nothing, dude. Like, you can't guarantee me that Deshaun Watson's going to be on the field because he just ruptured his Achilles. Like, he's done, right? So who are you bringing in to replace him, right? Who's going to be that guy? If you're telling me it's Aaron Rodgers? No, he's not going to Cleveland. He would fit right in, but he's not going to Cleveland. Like, your offense isn't good. Your defense is overrated. Like, what kind of woozy fucking dreamland is Myles Garrett living in that he bought this shit? Or is it just about the 40? I think it's just about the 40 million. It's got to be. Because what team are you trading Myles Garrett to, right, that can afford to sign him for that amount of money? Who would have taken a flyer and tried to trade for him? Obviously the Eagles. Eagles aren't paying him 40 mil. Right? Who else can use a pass rusher? The Bills. Bills ain't going to pay him. The Bengals. You would never trade within division. Right? The best financial deal was coming out of the Haslams.
All right, so the Browns have the second pick. So, I mean, because you, at two, you're not even guaranteed the quarterback you want, right?
True.
Like, let's say you're looking, unless you're telling Miles, well, listen, we know for a fact the Titans are going to take Cam Ward and we're going to take Jalen Milroe, or we're going to take Milroe from Alabama, right? Does that make you feel like, oh, all right, cool. So we're getting a quarterback? All right, I'm on board with that.
Rookie quarterback doesn't do anything for me because that just resets the wheel, man.
Or is it, okay, Miles, this is what we're going to do. With the second pick in the draft, we're going to take Abdul Carter from Penn State. It's going to be you and Abdul for the next 5 years. Would that make you like,
no,
all right.
Like, I mean, it's better. Like, I would love some help. That would be fantastic, but that's not enough to maybe put pen to paper. There's nobody in this draft who's like, sign me the fuck up.
Miles, we actually are going to be trading for Kirk Cousins, and we're also going to draft Abdul Carter. So we're going to have a quarterback next year, a competent quarterback next year.
A little better. It's a little warmer. I don't know if I'm signing yet, but
Miles, we had a really positive conversation with Russell Wilson, and we're probably going to sign him.
Jesus.
And then we're going to draft Abdul Carter for you, and you two are going to be the backbone of this defense.
Jesus. God almighty.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, what would they say? Would you be like, Myles Garrett, Tom Brady is going to come back and play for the Browns next year? Don't tell anyone.
Outside of we're trading every future draft pick we have for Patrick Mahomes. Right. Yeah. There's nothing, dude. I can't envision.
Myles, Aaron Rodgers says he's going to sign with us. She's not selling anybody. It's going to be a draft day thing. That doesn't do it either.
Like, no, just, none of it. Nothing. You're not doing anything for me. Like, nothing is itching right now. Like, it's, I mean, the only one that would make me kind of like perk my ears up would be Miles. We're trading for Matthew Stafford. But they, you know, like, that's the only thing that would have, like,
which now we know is
which
not
now happening. Can't happen. Right. Not but it's just happening. Like, okay, we're trading for Matthew Stafford. Like, okay, you have my attention now. All right.
Miles, we're trading for Dak Prescott. And he's going to be our quarterback next year, and we're going to draft a dual Carter.
I like that one less than I like Kirk Cousins. Yeah, no, it's just
Myles Garrett. I don't fucking have a clue what we're doing, but here's $40 million a year. Shut the fuck up.
It's either sign this contract or I'm trading to the New York fucking Jets. Shit.
Right? Like, I just don't. I don't really know. I don't know. What could you? There's nobody. There's nothing you could say that can make me feel like
Myles Garrett. We are bringing back Johnny Manziel. Johnny Football's coming home. No, all jokes aside, man. Like,
if everything doesn't, Myles. If we don't win this year, next year we're bringing in John Gruden. I don't know. What would make you feel like I could stick around? I got to think they told him who they're going to draft.
It's got to be. Yeah.
This is who we're going to draft.
Right. Travis Hunter is not doing it for him. Ah, I got it. We're taking Shador. And then if Stefanski falters, we fire
Deion
him.
Deion will coach.
There it is. I think that's it. We're giving Stefanski one more year. And if it doesn't work, we're hiring Prime. I think that's it.
Okay.
That might do it.
Because they can't change that now, right? Now, regardless of what happens, they can't back out of what they told him.
No. Unless you want him to go public and torpedo the whole fucking thing.
I would assume that they made him sign an NDA.
Yeah, lots of NDAs. I mean, they're big on NDAs, from what we know in Cleveland. I kid. You set me up for it, man. That's not Shaquille O'Neal in left. That baby's out of here.
We're going to get a better massage therapy
company. Oh, my God.
I don't know. Deshaun Watson has showed a miraculous recovery. He's going to play week one. No.
It's got to be Shador and Deion, man. Like,
yeah.
It's got to be. It's the only thing that makes sense. Because what have they done? Like, what have they done? I can't think of any move that they have done that would excite me if I'm Myles Garrett. I just, yeah, they're selling him on hope. He's smoking the hopium right now. I just, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this could have been better. And, you know, it's just gone to shit. It's just gone to complete shit. Ever since they ran Baker Mayfield out of town, it's gone to complete shit in Cleveland. And I gotta say, like, that's deserving because they did Baker Mayfield dirty. This is
Baker
karma.
Baker might be going to the Super Bowl next year.
I think so. Like, there's a good chance. Like,
they just get to get, they need like two edge rushers because they play good defense.
Yeah.
Godwin will be back.
Well, we know Todd Bowles can coach defense, you know, and Baker has been getting better every single year that he's been down in Tampa Bay, right? He's rounding into form. He's becoming the number one pick that they thought he was going to be. Cleveland pulled the plug on him too soon. Now, whether it was because of immaturity, whether it was relationships in the locker room, because, you know, OBJ was there, Jarvis Landry was there, but maybe it was an oil and water type situation. But he seems to be rounding into form and becoming who they wanted to be, who they wanted him to be. So, yeah, it's just Cleveland, man. It's just the nature of the beast in Cleveland. But if that's the deal that they told Myles Garrett, and that was enough for him to put pen to paper, I mean, all power to you if that's all it took. But does, at the end of the day, yes, he's Shedeur Sanders. Yes, he's Deion Sanders. But he's a rookie NFL head coach and a rookie quarterback. I'm entering the prime of my career. You just set the wheel back, right? You just moved the goalpost back to the beginning. I got 5 more years of this shit. I don't know. I guess maybe on the sizzle and in the glitz and the glamour, but like when you strip all that away, it's still a rookie quarterback. It's still a rookie coach. And it's on that treadmill of mediocrity, on that road to nowhere. And I mean, at least he can cry himself to sleep tonight with all that money. He can dry his tears with $100 bills.
Yeah.
So, congratulations on the bag, Miles, but are you sure this is what you signed up for?
Hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement. It's either fair or foul. Fair or foul. Number one, the 2025 Seahawks are better than the 2024 Seahawks.
You know, I'm starting to buy into this. I'm starting to buy into it. All right, so if you go position, if you go, let's just look at offense, right?
Okay.
Sam Darnold,
okay,
is their new quarterback, coming off one of his best years as a pro. Is Sam Darnold better than Geno Smith? Who would you rather have? Would you ever have Sam Darnold? Would you rather have Geno Smith?
It's kind of a wash.
It's a wash.
But, okay. Yeah, that's I would okay. take Sam because he's younger.
All right. It could be a wash, right?
Yeah.
Now they come and they got Cooper Kupp. You get rid of Lockett and you bring in Cooper Kupp. Would you rather have Lockett or Cooper Kupp?
Both of them have his injury histories.
Lockett plays. Lockett doesn't
So
care.
I would rather have Lockett.
Okay, it's fine. It's fine. And then you get rid of DK Metcalf and you have Jackson Najigba, who became the number one last year. Who would you rather have as your number one? DK Metcalf or Jackson Najigba?
Well, here's the thing. You replace DK Metcalf with Marcus Valdez-Scantlin. So who would I rather have? MVS or DK Metcalf? I'd rather have DK Metcalf. That's just
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? How you look? I don't look at it that way. I look at MVS being their number three receiver. I don't look at him being their number one. I think Jackson Jacob is their number one. I think Cooper Kupp is their number two. MVS is number three. And I forget the guy who's number four, but it's the same guy who's number four last year as the same guy who's number four this year.
Yeah. So that being said, I don't think they got better on the whole. I think they're about the same.
So I'm saying I'm going to come out and say it's fair. I think the 2025 Seattle Seahawks will be better than the 2024 Seahawks. I'm taking those players over the ones they had last year.
So define better. Is the question. Will they do better in
they'll
win more games. They'll be better in the standings. Here's why it's fair. Here's why it's fair. Because the San Francisco 49ers are falling apart.
Jury's out on that team.
Yeah.
So play there and get hurt.
Right. They're going to finish in second
Although
place.
They did bring back their fullback and they're trying really right now. Maybe that's the deal. Maybe Miles were traded for Brock Purdy.
Hey, I thought you were going to say that the Bengals were going to trade T. Higgins to the Niners. But I thought that's where you were going.
That'll happen next year.
Ah, okay. So yeah, we need another brittle wide receiver. I got you. But yeah, I think.
And a draft day deal.
Oh, Jesus.
Draft day deal, right?
That would be interesting. So Brock Purdy for the Mr. Irrelevant for the number two pick. That's crazy. And then they draft Shedeur Sanders. I mean, it's a John Lynch type move. He did trade for Trey Lance, but he did that. He made that happen. So, yeah, I don't know. I still feel it's kind of a wash, but it's fair in that the other teams, you know, Arizona's not really doing anything very sexy. San Francisco is getting worse, and the Rams are the only team that got better. So they'll win more games. On paper, I don't think they're better, but games aren't played on paper. Thank God. Because if that's the case, then, you know, a lot of teams would be undefeated. But, you know, they got younger, right? They got younger at a skill position. And I think that's going to be important too. So their window, they opened their window a little bit more. So if Sam is anything, right? If he's anything like he was last year in Minnesota, they're going to be fine for a while. But I don't know. Just thinking about past performances, thinking about roster construction and talent, it seems like a wash to me. Fair only because of what's going on around them. Fair or foul number two, the Pittsburgh Steelers are in trouble.
Fair. 100% fair. They're looking at Rudolph being their quarterback.
Oh, Jesus. Year.
Because they have bought into the whole Aaron Rodgers show. Because he's holding them hostage right now. The Vikings already said, we're out. We're good. We're not fucking waiting, bro. we're going forward with AJ McCarthy and we'll figure it out. Like, so right now, it's like, is this dude going to retire? Is he going to sign with the Steelers? What's happening? And they're sitting here, like, waiting for it to unfold. And they're going to get burned. What if this motherfucker says, I'm going to retire? Which he could do. Then what? What if he goes into the darkness again? Oh, and he comes out and says, I'm just going to retire.
Well, he's already in.
Or what if he comes out and says, I'm going to go play for the Giants? Because this is what it comes down to right now. And I would think that that's the team that he would want to play for. He'd want to go play for the Giants because he apparently bought some house in Jersey that he had renovated. He's going to go leave that to go play in Pittsburgh. I find that very hard to believe.
Yeah, it's fair. It's absolutely fair. Like, you lost that on Justin Fields. You're going to lose out on Russell Wilson because you're playing footsie with Aaron Rodgers. The Aaron Rodgers thing is already causing rifts because Cam Hayward's like, I don't need to go into the darkness. I don't need to take ayahuasca. You either want to be a fucking Steeler or you don't.
Yeah, like, what? This is so not the Steeler way. So not the Steeler way. Oh. It's crazy.
It's a desperate Faustian bargain, you know? And yeah, allegedly Aaron Rodgers has great respect for Mike Tomlin. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. You know, it's not a good fit. It's like the ultimate team and the ultimate me guy, right? And you still haven't taken into account that you brought in DK Metcalf. That's a fine move. Are you really that much better? No. No. DK Metcalf is good. He's good. But I don't think you're so much better. And yeah, like, you're still in division with the Ravens. You know, the Bengals just locked up their guys. You know, regardless of what we said, they did do that. They committed to their guys. And you let Najee Harris walk. So your running game got worse. You brought in Kenneth Gainwell, but he's not Najee Harris. It all spells disaster for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Unless they get this quarterback situation straightened out. Because you are in agreement. Mason Rudolph is definitely not the answer. Maybe that was the enticement for Myles Garrett. Myles, they signed Mason Rudolph. You can beat him with his own helmet again. You can do that. I don't know. Fair or foul number three. It's time for the New York Rangers to fire head coach Peter Laviolette.
Last night's game was just fucking depressing. It was just fucking depressing. Like, there's no other way to put it, Z. There's last night, like, there's, like, you know, you could say what you want about Trouba, but that dude, he couldn't skate, but man, he had heart. He had heart. His helmet would come off, he'd fire, get everybody all fired up. It's like, what do we have to do? Like, they needed that game last night. They need them all coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
They need them all. And what is going to be the turning point? What can they do to light a fire under this team? And they're playing so under what they're capable of playing. It's just terrible. It's tough to watch. And I don't know if firing Laviolette is the answer or got to do something.
Well,
what's going to happen? There's got to be something to light a fire under this damn team.
The guys on this team, the leaders on this team, most of them have no movement clauses. You ain't getting out of these contracts.
So you're blaming Drury?
You're not. Mika Zibanejad's not going anywhere. Chris Kreider's not going anywhere. Artemi Panarin's not going anywhere. Vincent Trocheck isn't going anywhere. I hate to break it to you guys, but this is who you got. This is who you got. And to a point, this is Drury's fault because of how he handled Goodrow. It's soured the locker room. How he handled Trouba soured the locker room. Chris Kreider hasn't been the same all year. This dude scored 52 fucking goals and then, what, packed it in. Like, he's not the same guy, right? Zibanejad's look lost. He's been better of late, but he's looked lost most of the year. Panarin has been good in fits and spurts. Still can't play a lick of defense. Vincent Trocheck can't carry them, right? They traded for JT Miller. JT Miller can't carry them, right? They gutted the team. They brought in Vakanainen. They brought in Soucy. They're making these moves, right? They're trying to make room for the kids. When Edstrom comes back, he's going to play. They brought up Hoffman. They brought up Berard. Cooley is having a great year. So good for Will Cooley. But
the Cooley man.
That's it. You traded Kako. You traded Heedle. Like, you're trying. Like, Drury's trying. But the Trouba and Goodrow thing set the ball in motion from last year. I remember last year we watched, last season, I should say, we were at your house at your birthday watching them get their asses handed to them by the Florida Panthers. We did this. We ruined your birthday by watching the New York Rangers.
We played this game.
Why did we do this? So we knew what they needed to do, right? We identified what they needed to do. They needed to get bigger. They needed to get tougher. They needed to get nastier. And they needed to get grittier, but skilled. In short, they needed a Tkachuk brother. And Brady Tkachuk is not for sale. Because the Ottawa Senators are ahead of the Rangers in the standings. They're in the playoffs. The Rangers are soft. They're undisciplined. They're generally defensively challenged. And from a professional sports standpoint, they make too much money. So good luck trying to move these contracts. Maybe Drury can work some magic in the offseason where he's retaining 50% salary, 75% salary, whatever that may be. But the quickest fix is to get rid of Laviolette. But this is Laviolette's MO. He has a hot start, and then it gradually gets worse. It was that way with the Islanders. It was that way with the Predators. It was that way with the Hurricanes. It was that way with the Flyers. That's the arc of Peter Laviolette. It's depressing. It's knowing where this team was and knowing where this team is just a kick in the dick. It's, you know, it is. It's a kick in the dick. Repeatedly, because then they tease you and they show flashes and they play great. That's even worse. It's like, so it's, you're capable of doing this. You're just choosing not to. Like, what the fuck? And then friggin' Shesterkin, he held out for that money. I'm glad he got his money. I'm glad you got your deal, Igor, because this is what's going on in front of you. So welcome to Henrik Lundqvist land. You're officially now in the same company as the king. So the Rangers need to do something. Laviolette's not a... He's not going to play the kids. He's playing the kids because he has to. Not because he wants to. So if you really want to see the young Rangers on this team, you're probably better off bringing in somebody else, right? They had a chance at Carberry. They didn't go for Carberry. Knobloch, who coaches the Oilers, who were in a thing we like to call the Stanley Cup last year, he was the head coach of the Hartford Wolfpack, who, last time I checked, is the AHL affiliate of who? The New York Rangers. So he was in the organization, and they let him fucking walk to Edmonton. I can coach McJesus. That's awesome. Let's do that. There are plenty of heads that will roll. Laviolette is one of them, but some of these players need to be there too, and Chris Drury probably needs to be as well. It's an organizational failure. It's an organizational dumpster fire. And it's going to be a while. There's no quick rebound this time. Like, they got to go through it. And hopefully these prospects aren't suspects. Hopefully these prospects are the goods.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, on our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and on our Spotify page. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner said, vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be New Era Caps.
Oh, yeah.
For Tetas, Anals, Tetas, and Asshos. All three of those have been pulled off the markets. So, just letting you know, if you wanted a Tetas hat, you have to go to eBay because they're there and they're extremely expensive. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, first up, I've got your favorite, my favorite, Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred.
Jesus.
Starting the baseball season March 18th in Japan with the Cubs and Dodgers is a shame. Baseball is an American sport. The home opener should be on American soil. Rob Manfred, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got closer Craig Kimbrel. Nine-time All-Star, 2018 World Series champion. Last year, he was sporting a 5 ERA, and he had a negative one WAR.
Jesus.
He signed a minor league deal with the Braves today. Don't get more alleged than that. Craig Kimbrel, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, the Cincinnati Bengals signing T. Higgins, signing Ja'Marr Chase, and not doing anything with the defensive side of the ball where they struggled all season. How are you going to stop anybody if you don't sign any players? Cincinnati Bengals, you are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. What do you got, Z?
You can't argue with those. You can't really argue with those at all. Mine's going to be kind of basketball heavy this week. Going to start with the Philadelphia 76ers. Paul George out for the year.
Oh.
So he got some injections in his adductor muscle, and he's done for the remainder of the year. And you know what else is done for the remainder of the year? You guys. It was a risk. It was a I don't even know if it's a calculated risk. I don't even know if we can call this a calculated risk. Right? You're like, okay, we're going to bring in Paul George. Tyrese Maxey's here. And we're just going to wait and hope and wish and pray that Joel Embiid is going to be healthy. What the fuck are you thinking? We said it was risky at the beginning of the year, and that risk did not pay off for the Philadelphia 76ers. And currently, they are circling the drain in the Eastern Conference. Philadelphia 76ers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the Dallas Mavericks. Potentially forfeiting games because you guys don't have enough fucking players. Right? So apparently, with the 10-day contract rules and the contract situations, they've barely had enough players to play. At one point, I believe they had 7 players play in one of their recent games. Now, Tom Thibodeau said that's a short rotation. But PJ Washington, he said, it's not Nico. I don't want to hear his fire Nico shit. Well, it's just going to get louder and louder and louder and louder. If only you had Luka Doncic. Maybe, just maybe, you wouldn't be in this position you're in. But there is hope. Anthony Davis is recuperating in the G League. Let's see if he can make it back in one piece. Dallas Mavericks, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the NBA itself. Investigating the Thunder for not starting its starting five. My, how the chickens have come to roost. They are back. Are we kidding here? Like, this is what the issue is with load management. And Adam Silver condones it, right? Adam Silver kind of allows it to happen and promotes it. But you want to get your best quality out there, they're going to have to sit a little bit. They're going to have to rest a little bit so they can give you their best performance possible when they decide to play, when the players decide to play in this league. So this is karma, NBA. The number one overall team sits there, guys, and rubs your nose in it. NBA, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And a bonus to those of you that went out to watch the Savannah Bananas at Mile High Stadium. What the hell is going on out there? I don't understand banana ball. It's not baseball. I mean, if it's the Harlem Globetrotters, great, but like, it doesn't even look like the Harlem Globetrotters. It's some weird shit. So, the game of baseball. You are my alleged superstar of the week. Right? That display. That whatever that is being looked at more fondly than your product. That yours is old and stodgy, and theirs is colorful and new. They do dance routines on the mound. They wear these bright yellow uniforms, and they play teams called the Party Animals. And they have cutoff uniforms. Like, what the hell? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the old man yelling at the cloud. Fuck it. There's the cloud. I'm going to yell at it. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. Go to our Spotify page and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just
do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.